News. And welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight here on 6NME Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. Jody Hoffman with you for the next hour. Great to have your company and I hope you can stay tuned. Today on the program, having a chat with Alex Walters, who is from our Civil and Human Rights Unit at the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, and talking about a few things that I'm sure are going to be of great interest to many of our listeners. Cyber racism is expanding all the time as social networks expand, of course, and Facebook and a whole lot of other areas. We'll be talking about that and how you can protect your rights, or can you protect your rights through cyber racism. We're also talking about, you would have heard in the news a lot in the last couple of weeks, about Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act. We'll be chatting about that as well. I hope you can stay tuned. This is Noongar Radio and the Law Matters program, which comes to you every fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jody Hoffman with you on the Law Matters program, which comes to you every fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. I do hope you can stay with us this hour. Coming up very shortly, chatting with Alex Walters, a solicitor from our civil unit, all about racial discrimination. Now, I'm sure if it's not an issue that has affected you personally, I'm sure there is somebody in your family or your network of friends or community members who have been affected by this in one way or another. There are courses that you can take to ensure that you're not unfairly discriminated against. We'll be talking all about that shortly. Happy listeners, I hope, joining us on the program today. Remember, Law Matters comes to you every second Wednesday here on Noongar Radio in Perth, and it's repeated Sunday nights on Noongar Radio at 9 o'clock, and also repeated the following week on the National Indigenous Radio Service. So hello to all our listeners around the country. Great to have your company, and we like to keep you informed on a whole lot of the legal issues that are affecting our mob over here in Western Australia. I guess an issue that we all have faced from time to time is the issue of racial discrimination. So we're going to focus on that during today's program. And welcome to the program, Alex Walters, who is a solicitor from the ALS Civil and Human Rights Unit in Perth. Alex, first time on the program. Welcome. How are you going?
Thanks, Jody. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, we're going to talk about a few things today. We're going to talk about cyber racism. We're going to talk about Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act. We're going to talk about discrimination generally. What could it mean to be discriminated against? How do you know if you've been discriminated against, and what are the avenues that you can take? But first, let's talk about your ALS journey, which only began a few months ago when you started on board with us. Tell us a bit about yourself.
I started at the ALS 4 months ago in civil, and it's been really good. I previously worked at Lavin Legal, which is a private firm which provided the ALS with a lot of assistance in the Collard matter, the Stolen Generation matter, and they did a power of tremendous work on that. So, yeah, I've really been enjoying my time in the ALS. I've been up to Meekatharra and Geraldton, and I've got a few matters in the northwest in the second half of the year that I'm really looking forward to. And the civil unit does a lot of really diverse legal work and policy work, and I think we should be really proud of what we're doing. The team's doing a pretty good job, I think.
And the civil unit, I mean, I guess the work that comes to the civil unit is really varied as well, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. So we do things like coronial inquests, racial discrimination in an equal opportunity sense as well. We also act in a range of civil litigation matters with unlawful detention, things like that. So it's pretty varied.
How have you found the last 4 months at the ALS? Great bunch of people, hey?
They are a really good bunch of people, yeah. A lot of the work can be quite difficult. You're often dealing with fairly entrenched institutional responses to racism, I guess, and the challenges faced by Indigenous people. But I think the team does really good work. And obviously, there's no shortage of fights needing to be fought.
Has it been a bit of an eye-opener for you, Alex, on a personal level, working with an Aboriginal legal service and just seeing the diversity of issues that are facing Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people within the community?
I guess I was aware of it, but I think to the extent that really subtle institutional things that are geared up against Indigenous people exist, I wasn't aware of it. In that sense, I think obviously the challenges that Indigenous people face generally were something I was aware of. My thesis had a bit to do with Indigenous overrepresentation, the criminal justice system, and over-policing and things of that nature. So I was aware of it, and I think that really is something that we deal with daily. So, yeah.
It's a tight little unit, the Civil and Human Rights Unit, and exciting and important work that goes in there. And I say exciting because a lot of it is advocating for better rights for people and just reminding people that, you know, there are some things that are basic human rights that we should all have access to, hey? Mm,
Absolutely. We were going to talk about Section 18C today, and I wouldn't mind touching on that now, if you don't mind, Jody. Section 18C was flagged as being repealed when the new federal government came into power. It was something that was kind of cast as a step along the way to, I guess, restarting a culture war of sorts. Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act provides that it is unlawful to do something except in private, any act which would offend, humiliate, or demean a person on the basis of their race. So there's the requirement that it's done in public, the requirement that it offend, humiliate, or demean, and that it be done on the basis of race. The federal government flagged that this would be something they'd be looking at repealing. The Attorney General, Senator Brandeis, defended the right of people to be a bigot, and it really seemed that in light of the Andrew Bolt case that was prosecuted in the last couple of years, the federal government is really keen on, to their mind, emphasising freedom of speech over race hate protection. In the last fortnight, Tony Abbott intervened in the discussion and announced that there would be no repeal to Section 18C. There had been in excess of 5,000 submissions on the proposed repeal to Section 18C, and in excess of 70% were opposed to the repeal. It seemed that the community in large, and this isn't just Indigenous organisations, these are migrant advocate groups, a lot of just legal organisations, were really strongly against the repeal of Section 18C and wanted to see strong protection against racial discrimination, race hate and bigotry remain in place.
Okay, now there was thousands of submissions that were received. By and large, the largest amount of submissions received was in favour that there were no changes, including our own submission.
That's right, yeah.
How important is it for organisations like ours to advocate and put submissions in on issues like this?
Well, I think it's particularly important when the Tony Abbott announced that there would be no repeal. He began talking about this idea of Team Australia, and he almost suggested that Team Australia had spoken. I think what's really clear is that the power of advocacy work done by organisations across the country said loudly that we don't want this repealed. And I think it's easy for people to fall into the trap of thinking that we have no way of impacting on government policy. But this is something, this is effectively a safeguard that protects Indigenous people, migrant people, and people of ethnic minorities. So I guess it shows that if you do stand up and fight for something, eventually you can be part of a chorus that's loud enough to drown out nonsense government thinking, if you will.
So it was a good win, people
good
rallying
win.
Around and supporting it, and a great example of people power.
Yeah, it is.
Let's talk about discrimination. What forms can it take?
Discrimination can take many forms. There was a really great ad recently done by Beyond Blue that talked about the very subtle ways in which racism can negatively impact upon a person. Racism can exist in your employment, it can exist in social media, it can exist when you're walking down the street and someone crosses to the other side of the road when they see you coming. It's things like that. It exists in everyday form. It exists very subtly. It exists at a subconscious level. And I think that's something that people need to be conscious of, whether they're non-Indigenous or Indigenous, that it is a problem. And I think it's really important to understand that things like that, even when done subtly, have really negative consequences for people's mental health, create anxiety, and at worst, really push people to the brink of their mental health, I guess.
Let's talk about some examples where a person may believe that they've been refused a rental property or a job based on their ethnicity. Now, what can they do in that situation? Because I guess then it's just one word against the other.
That's really the challenge. There are protections under the Racial Discrimination Act and the Equal Opportunity Act that prevent employers or potential employers or people proposing to lease you a house from refusing you employment or housing on the basis of your race. If you feel that you have been discriminated against, it's worth seeking some legal advice. The real challenge is that the onus falls on the applicant who is alleging racial discrimination on the part of the employer or the landowner. But you do still find there are such overt displays of racism in employment and in housing that often, you know, prima facie it seems you've got a case, but it's often still quite difficult to make out in times.
What about racist slogans that are you know, graffitied over walls or bus shelters if you see somebody actually writing those things. Have you got grounds for anything there?
That's an interesting question. I think you probably do, because Section 18C says that it is an offence to do an act, and an act is includes broadcasting, publishing, disseminating things that are reasonably likely to offend, humiliate or insult a person based on race. So if you're spray painting, that's going to be seen by thousands of people on a daily basis. Arguably, you're in breach of Section 18C. It's similar to posting something in a public part of Facebook. So what the Act says is that anything done publicly can be unlawful. So if you put something in a public group on Facebook that's really obviously and blatantly racist, I mean, you've got to keep in mind that that post is likely to be seen by thousands of people. Facebook isn't a vacuum. You know, it's an echo chamber. So if you put something in social media, expect that thousands of people will see it, and ultimately you are offending a class of people who are likely to, I guess, be really offended and hurt by that. So there's legal recourse available to those who are offended by that sort of material.
What are some other examples of being racially discriminated against?
There's racism in employment, in, I guess, your employment being refused. There's racism in service, if you're refused service on the basis of your race. I mean, it exists at, I guess, an infinite number of levels. We've had a number of issues in remote areas where people have been refused service at various venues on the basis of their race. Where would you start? You could not be let on a bus on the basis of your race. Employment, there's countless avenues, I guess. I mean, we deal with numerous complaints and under the Equal Opportunities Act and the Racial Discrimination Act where people have been refused services, they've been demeaned on the basis of their race. I mean, you know, really think of any scenario and there's the possibility of racism informing someone's decision.
I know we can't just sort of generalise and say this is why people do lodge a claim of discrimination, but what do you find does motivate people to sort of step forward and say, I've been discriminated against? Is it just redressing a wrong that's being done?
Yeah, I think that's... there may be some misconception that people who bring these claims are bringing them spuriously and just in the search of compensation. But ultimately, a number of clients that we talk to just want the person who's made the comment to go before some kind of legal forum and understand what they've done is fundamentally wrong and that it doesn't exist in a vacuum. If you do something with racial connotations that offends someone, hurts someone and makes them feel useless, then you need to understand that that is the implication of your action. So most of our clients just simply want to see the people who've done them wrong appreciate they've done them wrong. And, you know, that's really what it's about.
Do you have to wait a certain amount of time, or is there a time limit before which you can come forward if you feel you've been discriminated against?
Well, there are time limits under the Racial Discrimination Act. The Australian Human Rights Commission tends to have about a year as a general limitation period on complaints brought under the Racial Discrimination Act. So, and I mean, generally the principle's about the same under the Equal Opportunity Act. So I think if you have been the victim of racial discrimination, it's worth thinking about it within a few weeks and a few months and coming forward and having a chat to someone about it.
Okay, so if somebody walks through any of our Aboriginal Legal Service doors tomorrow and says, look, I'm feeling really strongly about this, I feel I've been discriminated against and this is how, what happens then?
Yeah, it's worth them getting in contact with the civil unit in Perth and just calling the ALS general line in Perth and having a chat to one of our duty solicitors.
So even if they're in country areas?
Even if they're in country areas, yeah. They can go into their local ALS and just have a yarn, but it's worth ultimately talking to one of our lawyers in civil, because we're the ones who are dealing with it on a daily basis and we're the ones who can give them advice on their matter.
And it may be something that the ALS can advocate for on their behalf, or we may refer it on to other organisations like the Equal Opportunity Commission.
Yeah, well, what we would do, if the matter goes to the Equal Opportunity Commission, we would represent them. And the Equal Opportunity Commission tends to try and conciliate and mediate disputes based on race at first instance. And then if you're not happy with how that's all been done, it's possible that you can take the matter to the State Administrative Tribunal.
And for our listeners in regional Western Australia, we've got a free call number that you can call anywhere from within WA. It's 1800 019 900, 1800 019 900. I'm chatting with Alex Walters, a solicitor from our civil unit from the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA in Perth. And you're listening to the Law Matters program on Noongar Radio, brought to you every fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. Jodie Hoffman with you this hour, and with me in the studio is ALS solicitor Alex Walters, who's from our Civil and Human Rights Unit. And today on the program, we're talking all about discrimination. And we were talking, Alex, before that song about Section 18C. And I guess it's important to talk to our listeners about the political philosophy that was behind getting rid of 18C. Thankfully, it's all staying, which is great news. But in the lead up to it all and the information we were being fed, give us an insight into that.
Yeah, so we've spoken about this briefly, but effectively, Andrew Bolton, who's a conservative journalist, was prosecuted under Section 18C for an article he published that talked about half Indigenous people. And after that happened, it became a real hobby horse of conservative politicians and journalists that they wanted to scrap this. There's this idea that freedom of speech is essential to a libertarian society, and so, as George Brandeis said, there is a right to be a bigot. And Tim Wilson, who's the head of the Australian Human Rights Commission, was really opposed to Section 18C staying in place. But I think it's really important, and I hope your listeners indulge me in talking about political philosophy, but libertarianism is kind of what the Liberal Party stands for, and it says you can basically do whatever you want with certain governmentally prescribed limits. And so basically they said, look, you should be allowed to be a bigot, you know, this is an excessive legal protection. But one of the founding books of libertarianism is John Stuart Mill's On Liberty, which Tim Wilson, the Australian Human Rights Commission head, loves citing when he talks about Section 18C. But one of the big parts of that book is John Stuart Mill's harm principle, that a citizen can do anything they like, provided it doesn't harm another person. And what we understand from racial discrimination, race hate and bigotry, and it doesn't even need to be in the racial context, is that those things are really harmful in the sense that they cause depression, anxiety and suicidal thoughts amongst, be it ethnic minorities, be it people of differing sexuality, or, you know, people in the context of poverty. So, you know, to say that that doesn't do any harm is just wrong. So really, the political justification for getting rid of it was all warped anyway. So really, what we know now is there is no right to be a bigot in public as the law stands. So I guess, you know, keep that in mind if you're a social media user. It goes both ways. You can't be racist against someone in a public sphere on Facebook on the basis that they're different from you. You know, that's causing harm.
And we've already seen quite a few examples of that here in Western Australia. I'm sure there's been examples all over the world of people using Facebook as a forum to vent their thoughts, racist thoughts, sexist thoughts. It's unacceptable anywhere, isn't it?
Absolutely. So what we see a fair bit of is public groups that might kind of Facebook public groups around a particular issue where there may be a racial component to it. There might be some suggestion that Indigenous people are involved in a matter and that there may be non-Indigenous people involved in a matter. But where there are public groups, to publish a racially inflammatory comment, as I've said earlier, it just is broadcast out to thousands of people. So you basically, by doing that, activate the right for any Indigenous person who's offended to bring a complaint against you that effectively provides that your comment on the face of it is unlawful on the basis that it's racially discriminatory. So I think people should keep that in mind. It's really important that you think about how you use your social media, what it says about you and what it says about your political and worldview.
Whether it's on Facebook, Alex, or YouTube clips, or Twitter accounts or whatever, what can you do when there is racist material there? Because, I mean, some of these sites are pretty difficult to get content removed from, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, at first instance, you're probably best contacting the, say, for instance, Facebook, the administrator of the site, and just saying, look, this is unacceptable. These comments offend me for these reasons. It's inflammatory and I think it has the potential to cause harm. I would appreciate it if you take it down. And that option's open in other social media forms, Instagram, you know, if we're talking video, YouTube. I mean, I can't imagine it necessarily happening in LinkedIn, but it's a possibility. Certainly Twitter. So all these sort of things, I think at first instance, you're best contacting either the person who published the remark or the person who's responsible for the administration of a page and just ask that it be removed. And most people are pretty reasonable about these things. If they see something that they previously weren't aware of, they're probably going to be more inclined to say, yeah, no, you're right, that's not on, let's get rid of it. And that's probably the best way to sort it out. And later down the track, if you feel really strongly about it, that it's kind of part of a pattern of behaviour on the part of the offending person, certainly there is the option to come to us and have a chat about legal avenues.
It's not always easy to find that administrator either, though, is it?
No, that's right. I mean, a lot of public pages might have a couple of people responsible, but that's the thing about the internet. That's why trolls use it. They can hide behind the keyboard under anonymity. So that's one of the challenges. But I think, you know, there are options available to you to kind of figure out who's the responsible party.
All right, Alex, thank you for joining us on Law Matters today. We have been talking about some of the roles undertaken by the Civil and Human Rights Unit of the Aboriginal Legal Service. Don't forget, we do offer services not just in criminal law, but in family law and advocating on behalf of people in relation to human rights, racism, complaints against police, a whole lot of areas. If people would like any more information about what they've heard on the program today, Alex, they can call us on free call in WA 1-800-019-900. I'm imagining for people who do walk through the door with a complaint about something, it's very empowering to realise that their hunch was right. Perhaps they have been discriminated against and there are avenues to go down.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of nice when you can come to the view that it's not just the status quo and they can't just simply get away with carte blanche racism.
Cool. Thanks for joining us on Law Matters. Look forward to chatting with you again before too long.
No worries. Thanks, Jodie.
Alex Walters is a solicitor in the Civil and Human Rights Unit of the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA, based in Perth. And our number again, 1-800-019-900, if you want any more information or legal advice about a range of issues. And if we can't help you personally, we'll certainly be able to point you in the right direction. 100.9 FM, this is Jodie Hoffman with you this hour on the Law Matters program, which is brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Just want to let you know about a forum that is coming up in Perth shortly, an event presented by the Law Society of Western Australia in association with the University of WA. It's taking place on Monday, the 1st of September 2014 at Shenton House, Hackett Drive entrance in Crawley, between 4:30 and 6:30. And it's panellists joining together for a discussion and networking event for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander law students and students interested in studying law. If you would like to get along, it's going to be a great night. There is going to be Jonathan Reed from our family unit, part of the panellists, as well as Krista McKeegan, Ben Wyatt, Tammy Solonek and Douglas Antoine. So plenty of stuff going on, and what a great opportunity to get together with these panellists and ask them questions about what it's like to work in the area of law and how do you go about getting into law. So if you are already studying or interested in studying law and would like to get along to that exciting forum, bookings are essential and you can get more information by phoning Gabrielle Garrett at UWA School of Indigenous Studies. The phone number in Perth is 086488 2467, 086488 2467. I mentioned Jonathan Reed from our family unit, and we've had some news in our family unit because Managing Solicitor Mary Chape, who would be known to many of our community members, has retired from the Aboriginal Legal Service after a lot of years and done a great job. So we're all sad to see Mary go, but wish her the very, very best for the future in her retirement. But the family unit still operates as usual. So if you do have any family law matters you need assistance with, do call our number 1800 019 900. Let's have some more music. When we come back, going to tell you all about the exciting 40th anniversary celebrations for our organisation, the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. 100.9 FM. Jodie Hoffman with you. Good to have your company. And guess what? Later this year, the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia is celebrating its 40th anniversary. Boy, turn the clock back. I can tell you that over those years, since the late 60s even and early 70s, there's been huge changes. And it certainly is indicative that from little things, big things do grow. 15 offices around Western Australia now and huge celebrations planned for November in Perth that we hope that you can be part of. There is going to be a gala dinner held on Friday the 7th of November at the Astral Ballroom at Crown Perth in Burswood, and a host of guest speakers joining us on the night, as well as amazing entertainment from Dennis Simmons on Didgeridoo and the Gaianyup Kinyara Dance Group, the Urban Youth Crew, the Marindas, the Yabu Band. It's going to be enormous. If you want any more information, jump onto our website, www.als.org.au, www.als.org.au. Tickets are on sale but are selling fast. Tables are filling up. So if you do want to be a part of that 40th anniversary gala dinner for the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, do check out their website as soon as you can to find out all the details about how you can go ahead and book your ticket. Speaking of from little things, big things grow, do you know that we do have offices in 14 locations around Western Australia? Our head office is obviously in Perth. It's 7 Aberdeen Street, Perth, right next to the MacGyver Railway Station. But we've also got country offices located at Albany, Broome, Bunbury, Carnarvon, Fitzroy Crossing, Geraldton, Halls Creek, Kalgoorlie, Kununurra, Meekatharra, Newman, Northam, Roebourne and South Hedland. All of the information about the services we provide is on our website. Our pamphlets are on our website. These radio programs go onto our website after broadcast, and a whole lot more information. So at website address again is www.als.org.au. And you wouldn't believe it, but we're out of time on Law Matters for another fortnight. Thank you so much for your company here on 100.9 FM. I hope you can join us again in a fortnight's time. From me, Jodie Hoffman, enjoy the rest of your day here on this fabulous radio station.